Welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV, the show where you can connect directly with the experts to get your questions answered live. Today we're going to be talking about C++. Yesterday we held an event called Pure Virtual C++, which was a one-day conference showcasing a bunch of different content across the C++ world. So if you were here yesterday and you still have some questions unanswered, this is a perfect time. If you weren't here yesterday, this is still any C++ questions you have, we will be able to answer. So please feel free to start dropping those in chat while I get all of our speakers introduced. So we have a bunch of people here with us today, and I will get us all to introduce ourselves and say what our talk was at Pure Virtual C++ yesterday. So if we go from the top, Augustin.
Hey, I'm Augustin Popa. I did a talk on VC Package at Pure Virtual C++. That's a C++ library manager.
Thanks. Julia?
Hi, I'm Julia Reed. I'm a program manager on the C++ team at Microsoft, and I recorded a few pre-conference demos for Pure Virtual C++ that were released last week. One of them was the new CUDA development support in Visual Studio Code. Another was using the new Makefile Tools extension in Visual Studio Code to build and debug Makefile projects. And the third was targeting remote containers from Visual Studio Code.
All right, thank you. Gabby?
Hello, Gabriel Dostrace. I work as architect for the programming language group. I talk about the state of modules in year 2021.
Great. Daniela?
Hi, I'm Daniela. I've been giving a talk about C++ modules and a little bit about the inner workings and details about it.
Thank you. Sunny?
Hey, I'm Sunny Chatterjee. I'm an engineering manager in the C++ team at Microsoft, where I work on static analysis. And yesterday I gave a talk on how you can use code analysis to make C++ a more safe language to program in.
Great, thank you. And finally, Mahmoud.
Hi, I'm Mahmoud Saleh. I'm also in the C++ language group, managing the C++ libraries team. I gave a talk about the status of C++ 20 and how we reach C++ 20 feature complete.
Thank you, everyone. And my name is Sai. I work as Microsoft C++ developer advocate, where I spend most of my time on Twitter. I made a couple of the pre-conference demos on C++ 20 features and targeting WSL2 with Visual Studio Code. So yeah, please send in your questions. I'm only seeing a comment here about Pure Virtual C++ being great. Thank you. But I guess I'll kick off with a question about C++ 20 in R tools. So what's the state of IntelliSense for C++ 20 at the moment? Anyone want to take this on?
Not even a PM, so.
I guess I'm not, I don't directly work on on the IntelliSense experience these days, so I don't know if we have representation from that, but I know that a lot of work has been done to continue improving the experience across the IDE, whether it's project system, whether it's IntelliSense, as well as, of course, in the compiler itself. I don't know what, I can't comment on what the current state is, but I know that a lot of progress has been made in the past couple of releases. And we are pretty pretty confident in saying that like people should definitely give it a try and see how it works for them. I think we have been doing quite a lot of work. And even in the preview releases, like each of the small previews, improvements have been made. I would say we're doing pretty well there now.
Yeah, if I could add something. So the four major features that we have, modules, coroutines, ranges, and concepts, I think a lot of work have been done on all of those. And recent previews, I know that a lot of improvement have been made for modules, concepts, coroutines have been there for a while. And I think ranges are working out. So, you know, getting IntelliSense for ranges.
Mm-hmm. I know you've been using our modules implementation. Daniela, how have you found the IntelliSense experience?
Well, it's quite good so far, but there are still some kinks to be worked out.
Yeah.
But it's quite well so far. I've been testing it out on preview 2. Preview 3 will be probably even better there.
Yeah, my understanding is that preview 3, especially for ranges, is going to be much better. You know, ranges is a real pain point for compilers in IntelliSense because it uses so much of the new machinery of concepts and things like that that it's really difficult to parse and process. So
So you know, I guess I don't know how much of our customers know this, but we use at least two compilers in Visual Studio, right? The MSVC toolset for generating code, and then a different compiler based on EDG that's providing IntelliSense. And you know, sometimes we have some gaps that is explained by the lag between the code gen and IntelliSense compiler.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. Please do send us in your questions. I'm going to ask Julia, what's the big things coming up in Visual Studio Code for C++?
So one thing that we are working on for C++ in Visual Studio Code is improving the getting started experience. So one thing about Visual Studio Code is that it is an editor. It doesn't come with a compiler and debugger. And so people can hook that up to the compiler and debugger that they have installed on their machine, which is great because you have a lot of flexibility, but it's not always the most intuitive for people who are new to C++ development. So one thing that we're working on is improving that getting started experience. And then some other things that are coming up is support for CUDA development in Visual Studio Code. So one of my pre-conference talks was about this, but we are supporting IntelliSense for CUDA programming. And we've also been partnering with NVIDIA, and they have built NSight Visual Studio Code Edition, which will be an extension in the VS Code marketplace for debugging GPU code in your CUDA programs. So those are some of the big things coming up in the next month or two.
Great, thanks. And that actually ties in nicely to a question which has come up on which extensions we would recommend for both Visual Studio and VS Code. So for Visual Studio Code, what are the main extensions you would recommend giving a try?
So to start, we have the C++ extension by Microsoft for IntelliSense and building and debugging your C++ projects. And then I would definitely recommend the CMake Tools extension for anyone that's using CMake to build projects. It's a very seamless experience for configuring and building and debugging CMake targets. You don't need to actually set up your build tasks or debug configurations in JSON files. So people definitely tend to like the CMake Tools extension. We recently released the Makefile Tools extension, which is very similar in look and feel to the CMake Tools extension, but it's for building projects with Makefiles. So if you use Makefiles, I definitely recommend using that extension. And then I honestly would recommend installing the remote development extension pack, even though that's not specific to C++, but I think the remote development experience in VS Code is very cool and very flexible, whether you are using it for remote SSH or connecting to a remote container or WSL2, which is what your demo was on. But I think that it's very cool because you get your local quality development experience regardless of where your code is running. So I'd recommend installing the remote development extension pack as well.
Great, thank you for that. And as far as extensions for Visual Studio, we spend a lot of time trying to make the default experience in Visual Studio as good as it can be. Like as Julia mentioned, Visual Studio Code, we want to be, you know, you make it what you want, it's extensible. Whereas Visual Studio Code, we're trying to pack in as much to give you the best default experience you can. But does anyone have any recommendations of extensions for Visual Studio?
Well, I do. I can't live without ReSharper C++.
Which features of ReSharper in particular?
The clang tidy integration or the refactoring that's in there. So it's just a completely different experience if you have such a nice tool like ReSharper C++. You can probably get away without any other extension.
Yeah, I know we've been trying to take on board a lot of things. Like, we now have Clang Tidy integration, right, Sunny? Can you talk about our Clang Tidy stuff?
Correct. So one of the things we did is we looked at ReSharper and we looked at Clang Power Tools, and we felt like that the experience was compelling enough to be there in the native Visual Studio experience. So right now, Clang Tidy is available in Visual Studio as a native experience. You know, all you got to do is go to your project properties, go to the code analysis tab, and then you can turn on Clang Tidy for all your C++ projects. And you know, like I said yesterday, we love static analysis. We don't care what tools we are using. I think we want to have the best of everything available in Visual Studio, and that's been our motto.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to other questions. Someone says, I love C++. How do we all see the growth of Rust? Personally, I'm very excited about Rust and how C++ can learn from Rust and how Rust can learn from C++. There's a lot of, like, if we can bridge those communities, there's a lot we can learn from each other. And as Microsoft, we have started to invest more in Rust and trying to facilitate that bridging between those communities more. What do you all think?
Maybe I can talk a little bit about in last CppCon, I did a talk on, you know, we took a look at Rust. I had an intern that looked into all the safety guarantees it provides at compile time, and it felt like, you know, we can do a lot in static analysis to bring some of those safety guarantees in C++. And one of the best comments I had on that talk was, you know, when languages start cooperating, you know, the community wins. And I think that's how I see Rust. I think we can pick like some of the compile time guarantees that Rust provides, and we should be able to go after them and provide static analysis rules in C++ and compile time rules where you can get a lot of those guarantees in C++. So in the next few months, we have already started rolling out a bunch of safety checks, and we'll continue along that journey to provide these safety rules in C++. And I feel like there is a lot of learning that we can apply there. So I'm actually excited about you know, this new energy in C++ where people have, you know, they want to write safer code and they want their code to be safe by default. So I think it's good.
Yeah, I should add to that. The issues of type safety, memory safety, or in general, resource safety is something that has been at the core of C++ design. I think part of the problem with C++ in general is that it hasn't actually, the culture of tooling hasn't taken off until very recently. Like, you know, Daniela mentioned Clang Tidy earlier. It's an example of language is 40 years old, and we are only getting excited about Clang Tidy and other tools only in the last, you know, decade. So that gives you an idea about what the culture in the community has been. I think it is a good thing to have a language like Rust that comes in and says, hey, C++, you say resource acquisition is initialization. What are you actually doing with that? So they took that principle and they ran away with it, and very unforgiving about it. They were ruthless in its application. And then suddenly the C++ community is like, oh, wait, can't we do that? Yes, of course you can do that, right? Instead of pushing constantly for cute language features, the one thing that we could do in the C++ community is push more for tooling, things that actually make the community write safer programs by default, right? And in that line, we have the C++ core guidelines that gives, you know, guidance about how you could write good C++, not how you can write clever C++, right? So you can have a lot of people arguing about, oh, is that all you can do? No, that's what you can do as safe C++ by default. But for that to be effective, we need the tools like what Sunny is doing. And I'm actually very happy to see implementation both Visual Studio and also Clang. And I'm hoping that the GCC community would come and jump in and add more there.
Yeah, and to add to that, on the topic of tooling, yeah, there has definitely been a surge of interest in building better tooling to really improve code quality and proofs of security and correctness as well. And I know that, so we talked a little bit about the static analysis tooling that's available. Recently, we also added address sanitizer support for Windows. So that we added the support for targeting Linux a while ago in Visual Studio, but now we also have it for Windows with MSVC. So address sanitizer is a really powerful tool for improving memory safety and just catching things that sometimes don't get found until you go into production. And that's probably too late. That's when you end up having major security incidents that can publicize all over the news. If it's like a massive company and there's a big breach somewhere, you really don't want to end up in that kind of situation. So there's been a lot of interest internally at Microsoft, certainly at adopting address sanitizer. We've already found massive success in terms of reducing the number of issues that get shipped into production there. And I think there's a nice, I think combining static analysis at build time with something like address sanitizer at runtime could really give you good end-to-end coverage for the different kinds of issues that can come up. There are some things that can't be caught by static analysis, and that's where something like address sanitizer comes in, but you don't want to only depend on something like address sanitizer when the workflow is a bit slower, since you have to go and you have to build your program a certain way, then run it, and then it catches one issue, you stop, you go fix it, and like it's fast. It's good to have static analysis as well, since that can run through everything and give you a whole bunch of give you a whole list of issues that can come up. And that's something that's good to set up as part of your continuous integration process as well. You definitely want to have a good workflow set up there. And I know another direction that we're going in terms of address sanitizer is with fuzzing. So there is that's also something that's been mentioned, I think, a number of times in recent conferences, certainly at CppCon, using libraries like libfuzzer to be able to basically test code with many different inputs, a very large number of inputs, and see what happens at runtime and catch a bunch of different issues at once. So it's kind of like you can use something like address sanitizer for that, but then running it at scale and identifying lots and lots of different issues. I know Microsoft now has a cloud fuzzing service that you can use to basically just run through your code with a lot of different inputs, and you get like a whole report of everything that's wrong. So it's definitely worth investing in the good tooling. I mean, the good tooling itself is being built and it's being improved over time. It's worth actually adopting it. I know people always complain about the issues in C++, but there's no reason why we can't fix all these things.
Okay, let me add to that. So I know part of the comment I made earlier may have sounded a little bit harsh. You know, it's tough love not being harsh. but I do stand by my conviction that we need to redirect our enthusiasm from away from cute advanced language feature more toward tooling. So address sanitizer is a good thing, and GCC was released last week. And if you go through the thing they're offering now, they have thread sanitizers. Like, we don't have good guidelines. If you go to the C++ core guidelines, we don't have a good corpus regarding concurrency. That's a place where you also have unsafety and a bunch of other hard problems to solve. So GCC, for example, now has threat sanitizer, hardware-assisted address sanitizers and threat sanitizers. So that's another direction that I hope the community at large and Microsoft and other tool vendors can get together and try to make progress. And this will benefit not just the C++ community, but also Rust, because they too haven't completely solved that problem. It's the same thing. Like working and getting close to the hardware is just hard. It's a hard problem.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, moving on to another question, since we're using up a bunch of time already. Someone says, events like Pure Virtual C++ are very important, but it's not necessarily for beginners. How can we teach C++ to beginners? What courses would we recommend? Personally, I'm a fan of Kay Gregory's Pluralsight courses, and also Stu Shrupp's books, depending on what your programming experience is. That would be either A Tour of C++ or Programming Principles and Practices. What do you all think? What would your recommendations be for beginners?
Yeah, I agree with those recommendations. And on the subject of Kate Gregory's Pluralsight videos, one thing that's very important, I think, is to teach C++ from a modern C++ perspective rather than from C++ before C++ 11 kind of perspective. And unfortunately, a lot of the older materials that you find online about learning C++ tend to be dealing with things like, oh, here's how you do stuff with raw pointers. Well, I think we would do ourselves a service in terms of creating the future generations of C++ developers if we don't focus on outdated concepts that we don't want people to be applying in code when they actually start working. So while it can be interesting for historical purposes to understand, okay, well, here's this stuff you can do with C++, I think we should focus on the recommended best practices and don't teach people things that we ultimately don't want them to actually use, and we want them to use the newer stuff instead.
Yeah, I agree with that. And part of the problem is we tend to teach bottom up, right? Before we can do anything, you know, you need to know how to call memory allocation. Oh yeah, we have to talk about malloc because we can talk about new and can use make unique. Like, so people tend to teach bottom up, and that's where the problems comes from. And the outdated materials are not just found online. They also come from teaching at university. Sorry, I was former university teacher, so I'm part of the word guilty here. But one thing that Bianca's book, you know, the duck book, what I call a duck book, does quite well is to teach from first principle things that you need to just need to know how to use. And if you really need to know how it works, you can get into that later. So from the first day in class, students start using Vector. You don't really need to know how Vector works. You just need to know how you can use it, right? And you teach people high levels of abstraction so they can stay away from all the dark corners where you get burned. We need to do more of that. The tutorial or educational materials that Microsoft is putting out online also can benefit from that. I think we should probably stop also teaching Pragma and WASM or other stupidities.
Oh, I'm sure we could start arguments on that one. Yeah. I agree with all those. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to add, on top of that, I think it's good to, I think it's important, of course, to teach the language. I think it's important to teach the tools as well, because you need to work with some type of tools. Even if you're working in a command line context, you still need to understand at least how to use a compiler and linker. But chances are you probably want to use some kind of an editor and possibly like a full IDE. So like when it comes to like doing kind of getting started with C++, I think it's good to think of it from an end-to-end perspective. Okay, let's set up this person who is following this along with an environment that they can work in We don't need to teach about all the different options and environments and the different tools out there, because there are many options out there. We could just pick one set of things, and then hopefully something simpler, and then focus on just learning the things you need to interact with, and then, okay, what are the actual language concepts you need to learn to get through things?
Yep, how to solve problems and focus less on language technicalities. People get lost in language technicalities, and then the next thing they want to do is to show how cute and clever they are. That's how we get some of the problems.
Right? One thing I found fascinating was when I was working on the new user experience for Visual Studio, for Visual Studio C++, we realized that when we were talking to students and like in user experience labs, we were shocked how many people didn't know what a debugger was. I thought, really? Like, I mean, that's a really important concept to know. But then you realize, like, well, when you're a lot of the materials you read online about how do I start coding don't even focus on things like that. They basically just say, okay, go run the code. Okay, but debugging, really, you're not going to debug at all? No, we're just going to run the code, see if something breaks or in the build, or if there's like a logic error somewhere when you run, and then you try again and you go through that kind of loop. It's like, okay, but learning how to use a debugger is actually really useful. So like, I feel like that's one of the basic things that needs to be taught when you're talking about like a student who really hasn't done any programming. That's like really important.
They need to know how to use the debugger, right? I think we also want to make it possible for them to not need to have to spend a lot of time with the debugger.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have to start wrapping up because we just got a few more minutes left. And I want to get to one last question. So this question is, what other C++ events do we recommend? So I'm going to ask each of you to give one C++ event that you would recommend. Don't spend any time on it. We've got 2 minutes left. So just your favorite C++ event, Mahmoud.
CppCon, of course.
CppCon, Sunny.
Yes, it's CppCon all the way for me.
Yeah, Julia?
I was also going to say CppCon.
Is this going to be a theme, Augustin?
Well, you could also do C++ Now, CpP Europe. I mean, there are a number of different C++ events that are
one
worth going to.
Daniela?
Meeting C++.
Meeting C++, yeah, I love that one. Gabby?
Diversity, I would say pure virtual C++.
And I would say ACCU Conf in Bristol, which was the first conference that I went to and helped me really get started and feel very welcome in the community. Okay, so thank you everyone for your questions and for joining us today. And thank you for all of our guests as well for your expertise and your answers. Thank you for everyone. Please do check out, there'll be a link below in a second to watch this and more episodes on demand and to find out what episodes are coming up soon on Learn TV and what experts you can ask more questions to. And that's everything from me. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks.